Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Mark Layton on air for Radio for Your Mind and Mentoring for Your Mind on this Monday morning. And who do we have on call number one here? Hello. Good morning.
How you doing, bud?
Hey, how are you, Jim? I'm getting used to the switchboard, and it says call is live but not streaming. I don't know what I have to do that.
It's live but not streaming?
Yeah, that's what it said.
Just give it a minute, and it may be lagging slightly behind, that's all.
Okay, very good. In any event, here we are on a bright fall morning. How's the weather down in Alabama this morning?
Absolutely beautiful.
You know, Jim, you gave me some good advice the other day, and you said for me to give a listen to Aces Radio Live on Friday night. And I'll tell you what, Dondi Scamacci is very impressive. And she said something in the early part of that show that really resonated with me. And I think that it falls right into our discussion of John Maxwell and failing forward. She said that if you invite gratitude to your meeting with worry, gratitude always wins. And I hear you talk about it all the time that worry is negative prayer. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, absolutely. You know, because it falls hand in hand with the idea of the law of attraction. Because the more you worry about things that may or may not happen, and that's the key, the more likely you are, just by virtue of being consumed with the fear of what might happen, you have a way of attracting that into your life, Mark.
Well, I totally agree. So let's talk about you know, some information from chapter 4 in Failing Forward. And you know, Jim, I hope the listeners understand that we don't have a, you know, financial stake in anything that John Maxwell has written or does, except for the fact that, as I perceive it, if you read and learn from Maxwell, he will have created a financial stake in all of our futures because he gives you the tools necessary to succeed.
I could not agree more with that statement. That is unequivocally one of the most powerful things that you could say, because Maxwell's teachings have a way of influencing literally all aspects of our lives. There's no way to get around it, because through his teachings, we either buy into and believe the philosophy of what he's saying, what he's teaching, or we don't. And the truth is, his works have been profound. They have touched lives. They've been translated into so many different languages around the world that you can't help but believe that they're going to have a significant impact into your life.
Well, that's 100% true. And if he had been around, maybe you know, at the turn of the last century, maybe Dr. Langley would have taken some comfort from Maxwell instead of what happened. Now, this is a perfect chapter for you, Jim, because you've spent a lot of time in aviation. And Maxwell makes the point that everybody has heard about the Wright brothers. They pioneered manned motorized flight. The interesting thing was that the Wright brothers were bicycle mechanics. They weren't aviators. And yet you had Samuel Langley, who was a professor of mathematics and astronomy. He was a director of the Smithsonian Institution. He was well-published. He received a huge government stipend to build such a plane. And yet, when his experiments failed, he took to heart the criticism that he was given, and he took the criticism so hard that it ended his career. It was stillborn before he even got to have his airplane fly. So he could not fail forward. He took it as he was unable to separate it, in other words, from himself as an individual, the event and himself.
Well, and therein lies the conflict, Mark. Do you accept the fact that a space and time, a singular event that typically marks inadequate preparation for whatever task that lies at hand, if we complete that task unsatisfactorily, do we allow that one minor setback to classify us as a failure? Do we become defeated as a result of that? Or do we look at it for what it was, which was a learning experience, a setback, a momentary delay, and continue on our mission, on our road to success? And the only way we can do that is through the power of the mind and the individual staring back at us in the mirror. Because if that reflection staring back at us in the mirror chooses to say, oh, I can't do this, then you can't. It reminds me of that ancient Chinese proverb by Confucius that says, both the men who say that they can and the men who say that they cannot are both correct. Because in their eyes, the perception they create becomes their reality.
You have to be, I agree 100%, you have to be willing to pick yourself up and dust yourself off and say, okay, I should have done this better, I should have done that better, I shouldn't have waited till the last minute to get ready for this test, I should have practiced my sales presentation a couple of more times, you know, before I went out and did it for real, I should have worked with my upline, if you're in network marketing, to debug what I'm saying, but the question is, now that you learned that, you cannot look back. You have to look forward. I always tell people, it's not in the falling down, Jim. It's in the getting up. If you could picture that little, clown face punching bag that kids have, that inflatable thing that they have, at least they had when I was a kid, you hit it, and it pops right back up. You hit it again, and it pops right back up. You hit it again, and it pops right back up, and it's still got that big wide grin on the face.
Absolutely. The other night on Aces with Donnie, we were talking about the fact that, from time to time, because of the hectic life that she leads, being on the road as much as she is and traveling, all around the world, that every once in a while in some of her presentations, she forgets to talk about a specific topic, whether it's because of jet lag or a variety of different reasons, because of the interaction with the chemistry of the audience. And it's not until after the presentation is over that it dawns on her, oh, I didn't talk about this, that, or the other thing. But yet, the audience was none the wiser that she neglected to talk about that subject because they were enthralled with the idea of how empowering the conversation and the presentation was that she had conducted. And the real beauty of this is as it relates to what we do in the network marketing industry, the only way we can fail at building our business is not to make a presentation, is not to seize the opportunity to talk to the people that we know. It's to prejudge them. And in prejudging them, we take ownership of the decision whether they deserve to know the information that we have to share with them or not. So in essence, we are not giving them the opportunity to make a conscious decision as to whether or not it would be something they'd want to know more about or not, because we're afraid that they might use that mortifying word that everybody's so terrified of. No, not interested. Fantastic. Do you know somebody that might be? How we react and respond on to everything that happens in our life determines the outcome. Because if somebody says, no thanks, man, I'm not interested. And we can say, oh, man, bummer, you're like the 12th person that said that. You know, I'm really kind of wondering if I'm losing my mind by even wanting to be a part of this or not. Now, or you can say, oh, great, you know, but I wanted to share it with you so you couldn't tell me at a later date, you know, why didn't you tell me about this? Do you know anybody that might be interested about it? Their reaction in your level of belief is the most important part of that process. Because if you give them the first response, they're going to sit there and they're going to say, yeah, that's what I thought. You know, if you don't believe in it yourself, you know, how can you believe that I'd be interested in it? But if you come across with the attitude, you know, fantastic, I just wanted to make sure you knew, you know, so you couldn't come back and say, you know, at a later date, you know, why didn't you tell me about this? Do you know somebody that might be interested? You know, in their mind, they're thinking, man, Mark's fired up about this. What is it about this that's got him so excited? Maybe I should sit down and take 30 minutes and actually have a cup of coffee with him and let him tell me more about it, because he's already asking me for referrals on this, and I don't even know anything about it. How can I give him a referral if I don't know anything about it? So, yeah, do you see where the mindset difference comes into play, Mark?
Absolutely, Jim. You really nailed it there, and it's all about posture. And ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to what Jim just said, and the next time you get a no, look around. The world is going on. You are still standing. You're still breathing. You didn't die. Someone didn't stick a pin in you and let the air out. And let me ask you a question. You joined your business for a reason. You had a why. You had a big why. You are going to get the no's, and you're just going to have to go past them, because the people who say no are not going to help you reach your goal. You have to find other people who are goal-driven, who have things they want to achieve in their life, and you're going to find that out by speaking to enough people and actually listening to them, and then you're going to help them reach their goal. Jim, if you go back to the gold rush in California in the 1800s. Lots of people ran out to Sutter's Mill and other places there, and they bought their panning equipment, and they were panning in the river, and they'd reach in, and they'd put their seine in the water, and they'd come up, and they'd shake it around, and they'd get a pile of rocks. And they guarantee you that they didn't unload that pile of rocks, get in the wagon, and say, that's it, and head back east. They did another one, and another one, and another
Mark,
one,
here's,
until
here's,
they found a sparkling rock that was the gold they were looking for.
But here's the other side of that. Those people that went out panning for gold, they weren't looking for gold. And this is the biggest misconception. It's the biggest mistake that all of us have been guilty of making at some point in our network marketing career. We try and sell the gold. And on the show the other day, Donnie did a great job of making an analogy that most people can relate to even better, I believe, and that's the fact that, you know, we try and sell drill bits to people instead of finding out what size hole that they need to make in a wall, or find out where the need lies in their life. Because I guarantee you, if I were to try and sell you some gold, and what you really needed was a wheelbarrow, I'm not going to get anywhere. You know, you don't need gold right now. You need a wheelbarrow to clean up a mess, to take some things and move it away. So the key in our life, you know, and the analogy that she used on the show was, you know, there were thousands upon thousands of quarter-inch drill bits sold last year all over the world. May not have been quarter inch, may have been a metric size equivalent to that, you know, at most places in the world. But nonetheless, there were thousands upon thousands, even hundreds of thousands of these drill bits sold. No one who went out and bought a drill bit wanted a drill bit. Every single person that went out and bought one of those drill bits did so because they wanted a hole that corresponded in that size in some object. And our objective, in order to fail forward, we've got to find out where the pain, and this expression, folks, pay close attention to the content of what I'm about to say here. If we can find the things in other people's lives by listening more than we're talking and observing their behavior, we can find where the pain is in people's lives. And if we're listening, we can offer them a solution to that pain through our opportunity. Because people will tell us what's changed in their life, why they're looking for something when they might not have been just as early as a few months prior. Now, so the key is to look for the pain in people's lives, discover how we can be of service. You know, Troy and I talk all the time, and Mark, I know you do as well, about becoming a leader with a servant's heart. The way you can do that, ladies and gentlemen, is by discovering what it is that people need and want in their life, because it's through that discovery, the self-realization when you point it out to them that this is something that can help them to get what it is that they're looking for. All of a sudden, you know, you take a person that may not have had the time, may not have had the money, may not have had the interest in what you were doing, and they would have given you all of those excuses, if not just one of them, just a day before, if you know what it is that they need in their life and you provide a way to help them get it. Their ears, their hearts, and their minds will open at a different level.
And that is 100% correct. And, Jim, the only way you're going to find that out is by having those conversations. So, ladies and gentlemen, as you read this chapter, don't let your fear of rejection create inaction. Because when you're inactive, you procrastinate, and that is way too high a price to pay for failure. You have to break the fear cycle. You can't have self-pity. You can't make excuses. Listen to what Maxwell says. A person can fall down many times but won't be a failure until he says that somebody pushed him. If you make a mistake, then an excuse for that mistake, you're adding another mistake to the first. So you have to break out of it by taking personal responsibility for your actions. Well, like you say, Jim, taking a look in the mirror and seeing who is responsible for your success.
I'm sorry. I got.
I know.
A little man.
Jim's doing yeoman-like work today. He's doing two things at once, and I commend him for it.
Absolutely. I got Annette is in North Carolina this week helping our youngest to gather up some stuff to move home. Her husband's been deployed to Iraq, and she's going to come home while he's here. My oldest is at the doctor's office getting her knee, her physical therapy for her knee surgery. So I'm here with the baby, and I'm trying to keep him entertained and conduct the call at the same time. Yeah, I tell you, it's a wonderful life that we live when we're able to run our lives with our families at the center of them. And this is truly what this business is all about. It gives us the ability to be able to multitask, because as you can see, he's quieted down again. And talk about somebody that doesn't know how to fail. This little boy, he will get his way eventually. He will win in the battle.
that is true, because children are relentless, and we have to reacquire our childlike ability to imagine and not fear failure if we want to succeed, because he will ask you again and again and again and again until you finally relent. Now, my daughter asked me a few things when she was young, and I said no to her one day, and she said not fair, and it was a dietary choice, Jim. So I gave her, and she was age 6 or 7, I taught her the either or clothes. I cannot tell you how much that cost me over the ensuing years. But
would you like, option A or option B? Always give your prospect one of two options. Never give them an open-ended question where they've got an option of taking nothing. You know? So, would you like the business builders pack, or would you like the preferred customer starter pack? Which one of those two would work best with your budget at the present time?
Yes, exactly.
Now, because if we give our prospects an option of something or something as opposed to something or nothing, we can't help but win, folks. And if we give them an option of something or something, they get to win as well. Because if our product, service, company, or opportunity is as good as we believe it is, which I would challenge any of you that are listening, if it's not that good, then you should be looking for something else. If it is that good, then believe in it with all your heart. Because tentativeness, and this is something that I can't emphasize enough, tentativeness demonstrates a lack of belief on our part. And if we're tentative in any way, if we have a lack of belief in any way that manifests itself, that shows itself to our prospects, folks, I guarantee you, we are all, I don't care what level of success we've had in this industry, if you display any level of tentativeness, your people will see right through it. As God is my witness, I promise you this.
And just believe. Just take those first action steps. Because the only way to conquer fear is to realize that you're going to feel the fear and take action anyway. I took a Dale Carnegie course once, years and years ago. And they said, you know, you're going to feel butterflies, nervousness, before you're ready to go into action. You just have to make those butterflies fly in formation. You know, Nike says, just do it. Just do it. Because the motivation is going to come as a byproduct as you get into action. You're more likely, as Maxwell says, to act yourself into feeling than to feel yourself into action. It's like when you sit down and make phone calls to leads on the phone, Jim, that first phone call of the day, that phone weighs about 50 pounds. By the time you're into the second or third call, it's like water off a duck's back. You're just rolling. So just get started, ladies and gentlemen. Do something. Take that first step. You're not going to go from a brand new distributor to an intergalactic commander in your company in a month. Take steps. Baby steps, do the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. The most important promotion is your next promotion. The most important customer is your next customer. But you're not going to get anything done without action. So what's the worst they can say? No. You're still being...
Well, Mark, I have to take objection to one thing you just said.
Well, please do.
And that's the fact you said that the most important customer is your next customer. And, folks, I would... Yeah, I understand what Mark, his intent was on this, but I want you to understand one thing. Your next appointment is nowhere near as the appointment that you're sitting in front of right now. Because if you leave a prospect sitting to get to the next appointment, you tell that person you're sitting with at that moment in time that they're not as valuable to you as the next person is. Never make that mistake, because it can become irreversible, and it also can set up a habit of punctuality becoming more important than the client that you're sitting in front of at that moment in time. We've all been to the doctor's office, and we've all had to sit there for 30 minutes past our appointment time and everything else. Doesn't matter whether it's the doctor's office, the attorney's office, the real estate broker's office, the mortgage, it doesn't matter. And all of these professionals have learned over the years that the idea of answering all the questions and taking care of all the needs of the client you're sitting there with at that moment in time are the value. And that's where your business is built. That's where you get your return customers from, is because they get that sense of caring our part as a service provider. And it's one of the reasons why I hate sitting in a doctor's office for 35, 40 minutes an hour past my scheduled appointment time, but yet at the same time, I understand why it happens. And we all have to understand why it happens, because it can make a huge difference in our own business as well.
Now, Jim, I guess I didn't state it quite as eloquently as you. I didn't mean that you pick yourself up and leave because you have another appointment. I meant if you were in between, the most important thing you have to focus on is the next thing you have to do. Okay?
Not what happened
in the past, because your analogy of the doctor's office is perfect. I take my mom to the doctor all the time, and she gets impatient that she's waiting. And I said, Mom, suppose it was you in the exam room. Do you want the doctor to look at the watch and say, I got to leave now, I got the next person? She says, of course not. I said, okay. So
exactly,
we're on that same, we are definitely on that same page. So, you know, Theodore Roosevelt said, person who makes no mistakes makes no progress. So you have to be willing to go out there and consider a mistake part of a learning process, but it is not a failure that will brand you and hold you down forever. If it did, you're never gonna get out of the rut. You have to remove yourself from failure, and if you take action, you will reduce your fear. And the major difference between average people and achieving people is they continue to take the action steps necessary, learning from their mistakes, but not dwelling in the past.
You are absolutely correct, sir, and it reminds me of a famous quote by Teddy Roosevelt that I don't remember verbatim off the top of my head, but it's something to the effect that far greater is it to live a life speckled with failure than to live in that gray twilight that knows neither victory nor defeat, because these poor souls that live in this state are living a life that they will never be able to escape from.
That is 100% correct. Tomorrow morning, we are going to go through Chapter 5 of the book, Finding the Exit Off the Failure Freeway. We're going to give you some tips on how to keep yourself moving forward and having the success that you desire. But one little prelude to that is, if you invest yourself in others in our profession, you will absolutely increase your personal return. The more you give to others as a servant leader, the more you will get in return. So, Jim, I'm going to let you close this out because we have a little bit less than a minute to go. Any words of wisdom?
Well, the only thing I would say is, to caveat the comment you just made, focus on building people. Because if you focus on building people, your business will miraculously have a way of building itself. Because through the process of building others and investing our time with others, that's the greatest investment, as Mark was talking about, that we can possibly make in life. Cameron, you agree? Yeah?
Well, I tell you what, I think he has definitely voted in favor of what you've said. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you for joining us today on Mentoring for Your Mind. Pardon me if, this is my first time at the control helm, and if you didn't get to hear the whole show, it will be archived. We want to thank you for being here. We want you to go out and make it the best day you can for those around you and for yourself. And, you know, as you go through this day, take time to stop and smell the roses and tell the people that you love them. Have a great day.
Mark, thank you for stepping forward and volunteering to take the reins and become a part of the leadership process on this, because leadership is things in life that can never be bestowed upon others. They have to volunteer for it. You have to assume the responsibilities of leadership. Only through appointment can we make someone a manager, but never a leader. Folks, have a blessed day. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning with Radio Free Your Mind.
Bye, everyone.